No, it's nature's way of keeping a species flexible. You see, if we lived forever, then if the environment changed, our species wouldn't be able to change with it. And all species have a life cycle, birth and death, because that way the species, by constantly renewing, new generation, it means that if the environment changes in some way, then the species can adapt to that, and we constantly get new genetic combinations thrown up with every generation. So you have to keep a species flexible, so that means that we have a built-in system whereby our immune system gets weaker as we get older, and so we succumb to various things. But in theory, if you could find the right genetic manipulation, as they're doing these days with genes, there's no reason why you shouldn't live forever if the geneticists were clever enough.
And that's where it gets into the interesting territory for me. Would you want to?
Oh, so, I would personally, yes. Because
would you? Well, would you not get bored after 90 or 100 years?
I would be happy to live as long as I don't sort of start dribbling into a bowl. You know, I mean, I don't want to be a cabbage. Providing I can still be active and still paint pictures and write books and do the things I want to do, then I'd be happy to live forever.
But Desmond, do you not think it must get to the stage where you've drawn all the pictures you want to draw? You've done all the work you want to work. You've had all the conversations you want to have. What more? I'm serious, though. What more would there be to do?
Well, you know, because I was going to talk to you, I looked up on my computer to see. I have a list, you see, of books that I haven't yet written, right? I've written 63. or I published 63. I've written 64. There's one
Cracker.
In print at the moment. I wrote one this year. And on my list of books still to be written, there's 112 titles. So I need another century. That would do me.
What would you get bored of doing?
I'm very good at avoiding boredom because I've found a way of removing from my life all the boring things. I was talking to my old mate David Attenborough about this, and he was doing some event. And I said, why do you do that? And he said, I'm very bad at saying no to people. David is such a sweetie. He can't say no. Somebody rings him up and says, would you come and open this museum or whatever it is? And he can't say no to them. I'm very good at saying no. And I've learned that how to avoid doing the things that I don't want to do. And today I work to about 3 or 4 a.m. every night. And I'm finding that this elimination of all the things that I don't want to do leaves me free to do the things that I do want to do, which is to write books and paint pictures and to travel.
Now, what about the more controversial territory, which would be that, all right, you're not left as some type of in some type of vegetative state, but you're in pain and you get as frail as most elderly people do. Is life still worth living?
No. I mean, the whole problem with getting old is that are you going to go out with a bang or a painful whimper? This is one of the big problems.
Yeah.
I want to go out with a bang.
So do I.
I always said I want to be shot by a jealous husband at the age of 90, but I don't know whether I shall achieve that. But the point is that clearly this pill that they're going to introduce, which will extend your life, it will be given to you before you get to my age. I mean, I'm the other chap you're talking to is just a youngster. I'm 84, and my life is coming to an end very shortly. Statistically, I'm already 6 years past my sell-by date, and I unfortunately for me, I once wrote a book about the aging process, so I know too much, and I know exactly how you know what my chances are, and I've only got a few years left. So during that time, I intend to enjoy myself as much as possible. But if I get to a stage where I'm in serious pain, then then that's another matter altogether.
If you got that stage, Desmond, would you consider going off to Switzerland?
Yes, indeed. I mean, if I was really in agony and miserable and unable to do any of the things I want to do, I'm nothing. I would be quite happy to top myself. But the point is that you've got to really be beyond all help. And the thing is that the reason why it's a little dangerous to talk like that is because sometimes you know, a medical invention will come along which will remove the pain. And then you think, oh, you know. I mean, in fact, what always annoys me is when they come along with these new genes, this what's it called, a CERT gene, this new one that they're going to turn on to make you live longer. And you read the small print, and it says, we're hoping in the next 20 years to get this ready for people. Well, thank you very much. It'll be too late for me. But I do think that the important thing, there's one crucial thing about old age, and that is that, like the person you were talking to just now, providing you've got interests, it's okay. You should never retire. Nobody should ever retire. That's the worst thing you can do. You have to keep active. I still have an enormous amount of mental energy. Unfortunately, my body, obviously at 84, is beginning to grumble a bit, and I find myself taking a half-hour nap, which I'm rather ashamed of. But, you know, the fact is that my brain is still working well, thank goodness, and so I want to go on living. My mother, in her 99th year, said she'd had enough, and she didn't want to put the Queen to the trouble of sending her a telegram. So I said, well, what do you want to do? And she said, well, I think I've had enough. I think I'll go now, dear. She was in a hospital. And I said, well, is there anything I can do for you? What would you like? And she said, a large gin and tonic. And that was the last thing I gave her, bless her.
And did she die soon after?
Yes. Yes, she did. But she'd reached a time. You know, she was running a bridge club in her mid-90s. She would run a bridge club at her house and do the meal for everybody and play competitive bridge for 4 or 5 hours in her mid-90s. And you see, this is because she never retired. She just never gave up using her brain. There's an old saying with the brain that if you don't use it, you lose it.
I find you really, really interesting. And from the perspective, I'm 38 years of age now.
38.
And it's interesting the perspective that you're taking as a man. You say that you're approaching the end of your life and me still relatively young. What does it do to you when you reach that realization that you've only got a few years left?
It makes you enjoy them more because you have to. I mean, when I was about your age, I did something. I'm a scientist, and I ask difficult questions. And I looked up the age of all my male ancestors. What age do they die at? And I averaged them out, and I discovered when I was about 40 that I was going to die at 61. So as a result of that, I worked extremely hard.
What a bad scientist you were.
What?
What a bad scientist you were.
There you go. I've broken all the rules for my family. I think I must get my genes from my mother's side. That's it.
But how did that change what you did then?
Oh, it made me write much more. You see, there was an old friend of mine who he was an author. He wrote Clockwork Orange and a whole lot of other things. And he was writing a book every 3 years, and then he was told he only had a few months to live. And he thought, well, I must write quickly to leave my wife some income from books. So he wrote 3 books quickly and then discovered that he wasn't going to die after all, that it was a mistake, and went on to live for many more years. But then he realized that instead of writing one book every 3 years, he could write 3 books every 1 year. And what it does to you, if you stop to think that you're going to conk out at a certain point, people don't ignore it. They pretend it's not going to happen. Face it and say, I'm going to conk out at such and such a time, that therefore I've only got a little time left. I'm going to make the most of it. And ever since I wrote my book about aging, I've realized that every year is more important than the next, because every year is this year that's important. And I always make sure that I never go to bed with the feeling that I've wasted the day.
So maybe, Desmond, the secret to success in life is living your life like you only had a couple of months left.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the secret to happiness.
Well, it's certainly.
And the bigger question is, why can't we all crack that? Why can't we do that?
Because I think when you're 15, 16, 17, you have, you feel you're going to live. You don't think about it at all. When you get to middle age, now 38 happens to be, I know this from my book about aging, 38 happens to be the peak age for inventiveness in the human species. All major inventions were done by people around the age of 38. And so it is the peak age, because what it is you're young enough to have flexibility of thought, but old enough to have experience. And the combination of the experience of 38 years and the usefulness of 38 years, put those two together, and it gives you the time when you're going to reinvent the television set or the computer or the telephone or whatever it is. And that is at 38 are at the most creative age of the human species.
Interesting.
So you must make the most of it.
And so just finally, Desmond, you've predicted that you might only have, what, 5-6 years left?
Well, I suppose. I'm already past my sell-by date, as
so,
I said.
So what are your dreams, your goals, your aspirations that you still want to fulfill?
Well, I've got all these books to write and a lot of pictures to paint. I've fulfilled my main traveling ambition, because I always said I wanted to visit 100 countries before I died, and I managed to do that. I'm now on 107. Countries visited. So I've sort of fulfilled my travel. I've kind of lost my urge to travel a bit now, because I've done what I set out to do, but I've still got a lot of books to write.
What's your biggest regret in life, Desmond?
I haven't got a lot of regrets. I suppose my biggest regret is that I've been a bit of a butterfly. I've done so many different things. Some of my colleagues from the early days, have gone on and become major figure in one particular special field, and I've hopped about all over the place. I've had more fun than they have, but it's meant that I haven't stuck to one thing and developed a whole lifetime's involvement in it.
And final question, Desmond, if you were able to take that 18-year-old who you've described as feeling invincible,
yeah,
and if you were able to inject them with all your knowledge, what would you tell them as the big message that they should know about life?
Oh, to live in the present, to make every day count, and never to waste a day. That's my message. I recently had some new lenses put in my eyes because my eyes are getting bad, so I've got artificial lenses put in. And I said to the surgeon, I said, any chance of a complete body transplant, because I'd like to have my brain put into the body of an 18-year-old. And he said, well, we're working on it, but we're not there yet.
I lied to you. I want to ask you one more question. And it's this. We've talked a lot about aging and the age at which you're likely to die, all that kind of stuff. Are you afraid to die?
I'm not looking forward to it. I think I always quote Woody Allen. I don't mind dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens.
Brilliant. Really enjoyed talking to you, Desmond, as always. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.